This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, how graduated driver licensing is reducing accidents involving teenage drivers. First up this afternoon, while the local infant mortality rate is still unacceptably high, far higher than the national rate, there have been recent signs of significant improvement. More babies are surviving to their first birthday in Cincinnati than in previous years, a milestone acknowledged earlier this summer at the Cincinnati Health Department's Infant Vitality Forum. Dr. Noble Maseru, Health Commissioner for the City of Cincinnati Health Department, joins us to look at the most recent local numbers and trends relating to infant mortality and vitality. What programs are working to reduce infant mortality and what more can be done? You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dr. Maseru, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What does the latest data tell us about infant mortality and infant vitality in Cincinnati?
Outstanding news. For 2013, the city essentially broke the double-digit barrier in the sense that essentially where our IMR, infant mortality rate, was 9.8, first time in the history. And then in 2014, provisional numbers, our infant mortality rate is 8.4.
So that the 8.4 number, that means the number of infant deaths before a year of age per 1,000 births. Is that how you look at that?
That's correct.
So those are pretty significant drops. I mean, what is it, about 15% between the 2 years?
Exactly. And what's telling is that nationally, for an urban community, the national rate is 7.2. So Cincinnati, 8.4, national rate, 7.2 for an urban community. So if you put this in context historically, roughly 5 years ago, 06 to 2010, the infant mortality rate for the city was 13.3. And in 2012, it was around 12 point something.
Now, why is it so crucial to track this kind of data? Is it an accountability thing? If you measure it, then you know what you're up against?
Well, actually, as probably many of your listeners are aware, is that infant deaths or infant mortality is a barometer of the health of the community. So what that does for us is essentially that we need to have our hands on, our eyes on as to what's taking place in amongst the most vulnerable in our community, and those are infants. And so that's why it's extremely important for us to monitor and surveil what's taking place in terms of birth outcomes. And so there's two great stories. One is citywide, where I mentioned the IMR lowest in the history of the city to 8.4, but also in terms of the city health department itself. For the last 2 years, our infant mortality rate is roughly 4.5. So that's an extraordinary number, too, for the last 2 years. We just had two infant deaths for the last 2 years. And for the last 5 years, in terms of our health centers and for the Cincinnati Health Department, we've achieved the prematurity percentage target. We've been lower than the percentage target for our nation in terms of prematurity. So that's another story. So the two stories are, one, citywide, our numbers are lower, historically low, and for the Cincinnati Health Department, our numbers continue to exceed what the targets are for infant mortality as well as prematurity.
So what is the what is the overall goal, Dr. Maseru? What are we trying to get to eventually?
The national goal for Healthy People 2020, infant mortality wise, is 6.0, and for prematurity percentage, that number is 11.4.
So we're trying to hit six on the infant mortality rate by 2020, and you think that think Cincinnati can do that? Is that possible? I mean, we've seen some big reductions lately, but is it possible to get it down that low?
Well, actually, if you look at our trends, the projection, even for 2015 right now, we're 13 infant deaths less than we were at the same period in 2014. So if we project out in terms of our IMR, we'll probably be between maybe 7.2 and 8.2. So that's a knock on wood kind of story there. I don't want to put the kibosh on it, but the the bottom line here is that we are 13 less infant deaths than we were at the same time in 2014 when we had a historic low of 8.4 deaths. So to answer your question, yes, we can reach 6.0, but the challenge will be for us to also address the upstream issues around poverty, because we're going to reach a certain point where the education intervention, which is taking place in terms of care coordination, home visitation, the breastfeeding education that's taking place, the depression screening that's taking place in our hospitals as well as in our homes, we're going to reach a saturation point, I believe, that the education and the clinical intervention in our health centers, and I should mention that we do have an extraordinary collaboration with the University Hospital in our health centers, as well as that same university collaboration exists with the federally qualified health centers, such as the Healthcare Connection, WinMed, and our own health centers.
Dr. Noble Massaro, Health Commissioner for the City of Cincinnati Health Department, is my guest this afternoon as we look at the most recent local numbers and trends relating to infant mortality. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. You were talking about poverty. Is poverty one of the reasons why it's good news how much it's come down. But it seems like the infant mortality rate for our area has been stubbornly high for so many years. Is poverty one of the key reasons that rate has been just a struggle to bring down?
Poverty is a key reason why our city overall right now is having challenges in a variety of different areas, with a poverty rate of roughly 34%, which is the third highest in the nation, I believe. Baltimore, in my own home city, Detroit, is number one. Childhood poverty is roughly 52%. According to the Casey Foundation, Cincinnati is number two in the nation in that area. So yes, definitely, without question, poverty is a challenge that has to be addressed if we're going to improve the social environment as well as the birth and maternal health outcomes that exist. But the low-hanging fruit for us was primarily to have the clinical and the education interventions. The clinical intervention, as I mentioned earlier, was through the collaboration with University Hospital in our health centers as well as the fairly qualified health centers. The education intervention has taken place primarily with a collaboration with the Christ Hospital, University Hospital at Discharge, where we identified 19 zip codes where the infant mortality rate was 10 or higher. And so when Mrs. Jones, before she's discharged from those two hospitals, Mrs. Jones will receive an education intervention of the depression screening, breastfeeding education, are you on WIC, do you have a medical home, and safe sleep education. Mrs. Jones will again receive an intervention, those same five interventions within the home setting through our collaboration that we have with Healthy Moms and Babes, Healthcare Action Now, the group, the American Mercy Home Nursing, as well as our own home visitation in the health department. And so what's extraordinary about that is that we initiated this intervention in February of 2013. The infant mortality rate became 9.8 as a result of that calendar year. In 2012, before we initiated that intervention, we had 11 unsafe sleep deaths. In 2013, through the initiation of the interventions that I just mentioned, hospital discharge and home visitation, it went down to 5 unsafe sleep deaths, which essentially we almost met the Healthy People 2020 target for SUIDs. But here's also the news to verify, or at least to validate, the importance of that education intervention, is that in 2014, the unsafe sleep deaths went down to 3. So 11 to 5 to 3. three unsafe sleep deaths where we reached the Healthy People 2020 target for the nation. So that's an extraordinary achievement through the collaboration of those partners that I just mentioned.
And the SUIDs that you were talking about, the sudden unintentional infant deaths, those dropped significantly too during that period.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
essentially
yeah.
From 11.5 to 3. So with the intervention.
It's about a 40% drop or somewhere in that neighborhood?
Exactly. More than that.
Okay.
But the upshot is that we reached the 2020 target within 2 years of the intervention, both taking place at the hospital discharge with university and the Christ Hospital, and with the home visitation intervention, along with American Mercy Home Nursing, Healthy Moms and Babes, and Healthcare Action Now. Now, we call this the First Steps Program, of which our own health department home visitation takes place. If those interventions are not done, then our nurses will go into the home and fulfill the cycle. But I should say that we took our time in presenting this or developing this intervention because there were others who were doing great work in terms of care coordination. The Every Child Succeeds program did some extraordinary work for roughly 15 years in this city, where we learned that in terms of their interventions, they were having successes around 4.5, 5.0 in terms of infant mortality rate. So we built our care coordination intervention around the successes that was taking place through Every Child Succeeds. But our expertise in terms of public health surveillance, we more or less segmented our target to the 19 zip codes where the infant mortality rate on an aggregate number was 20.6 versus the other zip codes in the city where the aggregate number was roughly around 7.2. So there's 5,366 births that take place in the city. How would we handle 5,366? Impossible. We don't have the resources. So we did so by having the hospital discharge and the home visitation through those 19 targeted zip codes. And the result is that our city has an 8.4 IMR, and we're 13 less deaths this year than we were in 2014. So there's good news there.
Yeah, that is very good news. Is home visitation the single most effective method to improve the health of babies and mothers?
No, I wouldn't say it's the single most. It must be an integrated, collaborative approach that takes place within the clinic or the healthcare experience that takes place between the mother as well as the clinician. So it's in concert with what's occurring in terms of the home visitation. The home visitation as well as the public health surveillance of our looking at the numbers and segmenting and targeting where the interventions are most effective in terms of our resources. So it has to be a collaborative approach.
And we're talking about, talk about infant mortality rate and the things that we're talking about right now, part of the infant vitality numbers. You've got home visitations and hospital interventions well up, safe sleep education up considerably, breastfeeding education's up, depression screening is up. And these are all crucial steps in handling this issue, aren't they?
Exactly. And when you say up, we're talking about 94,
good up.
94% of the mothers discharged received depression screening. That's an extraordinary number. 100% received safe sleep education. So you can see that those SUID numbers going down from 11 when there was no intervention to 5 when there was an intervention to 3. And so far right now, we're at 1 unsafe sleep, but that's provisional. There's a couple of 2 that's out there that's questionable, so let me knock on wood on that.
So provisional is like a preliminary number, is that?
That's correct, okay. Until there's a definitive determination made on whether or not that infant death is in fact an SUID or not. We have a team, a fetal infant mortality review team, as well as a child fatality review team, which takes a look at those numbers in detail. But looping back to the poverty question is one that we definitely have to take a handle on, because our challenge now as we look into the future is to what should we be doing in terms of looking upstream in dealing with the preconceptual health issues. And so we know that there are a number of stressful life events that families incur, financial, trauma, in other events around emotional events, as well as let's see, the loss of a family member, or essentially what has taken place in the neighborhood of Avondale with the shooting. That's a stressful event. So these stressful events have an effect in terms of their prematurity percentage, low birth weight, etc., and the healthy birth outcome. So in terms of poverty, we know that what is provoking these events that has taken place in our communities around violence. And certainly poverty and having a much more, how should I say, a social environment that inculcates a healthy community as opposed to a hostile community. And there's some suggestions that we have for that.
We'll continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Cincinnati Health Commissioner Dr. Noble Massaro, as we talk about improvements in infant vitality in Cincinnati. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dr. Massaro, Cradle Cincinnati recently launched the anti-smoking campaign. Do you see that type of public ad campaign as a great tool that maybe should be used more frequently in educating people?
Definitely. The more information that is presented to a mass audience, the better. Certainly, smoking, spacing, and safe sleep are definitely three areas that needs to be promoted. I would say it should be always visible. So, indeed.
Well, you know, when you're talking about smoking and sleeping and spacing, those are personal issues. How difficult is it to change people's attitudes about them? But I guess that's the point of the home visitations and that whole program is to get this message home.
And it's working. The proof, as they say, is more than in the pudding in terms of a public health context, because our agency is an evidence-based agency. And as I've stated, the numbers speak for themselves.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Colleen in Bridgetown. Hi, Colleen.
Hello. I had a question. I actually have a son who was born very premature in 2001. And every time I see the death due to prematurity numbers for Cincinnati, I always have to wonder, are those numbers skewed by people coming into Cincinnati because of the level of care here? Because he was in Good Sam for 13 weeks, and I know that Children's has a very high level PICU, and University has a very high level NICU. And I know when he was in the hospital, there were people from Dayton, there were people from West Virginia. So is that somehow skewing our infant death by prematurity number higher, or is that somehow taken into account that they're sort of weeded out of the numbers for Cincinnati and Hampton County?
Okay, Colleen, thank you for the call.
No, actually, because those numbers, or at least the resident-specific or the geographic-specific event is recorded so that individuals, we would calculate or compute a prematurity percentage based on that individual's place of residence. So if a person is coming from Kentucky, then that denominator, numerator would more or less come from the Kentucky. So we would calculate only those numbers that would be geographic specific for Cincinnati, and even drill it down even further by zip code. So an event that took place in Kentucky would be recorded for that particular geographic location. The actual percentage, if you will, for the city of Cincinnati, prematurity-wise, is 13.9% between 2010 and 2014, and the numbers actually are going down in 2014, the prematurity percentage was 12.1. Now, remember, the target for healthy people 2020 is 11.4. So the citywide is going down to 12.1%. We can reach that target of 11.4% by 2020. And for those fortunate folks who are coming to the Cincinnati Health Department, that prematurity percentage is 9.8% over a five-year period, way below the Healthy People 2020 target. So that's a good thing. And I should say, we've kept out, I'm saying we, this is specifically the Cincinnati Health Department, 132 infants have been kept out of, we've had 132 less premature births. They've been kept out, theoretically, from the NICU unit, which accounts to a cost of roughly $23 million to $41 million saved from 2010 through 2014. That's an extraordinary savings. $23 million to $41 million, 132 infants, less infants into the NICU unit.
And again, that's all encouraging signs, all headed in the right direction, a good trend.
That's why we have an infant mortality rate in our health department, and again, with our partners, University Hospital, of 7.8 IMR over 5 years. And for the last 3 years, the IMR is 3.9, 2012 to 2014.
Do you have any statistics or any information on the role of dads and outreach efforts to educate them to this whole issue?
Sure. We have our reproductive health and wellness program directed by Dr. Jennifer Mooney and Eric Washington. They're doing extraordinary work. Eric is doing some great work in terms of male health responsibility and that kind of a thing. And Jenny and her team is doing extraordinary work in terms of looking upstream in terms of reproductive health life plans.
Have any other cities taken notice of the progress that Cincinnati has made through the Infant Vitality Surveillance Network and the First Step programs? Is anybody else saying, wow, Cincinnati's doing something right, maybe we should be trying to figure out what they're doing right?
Well, in 2012, we were recognized by the Bloomberg Foundation, where we were a finalist for a mayoral challenge. And in this year, as a matter of fact, 2015, we have the Winston-Salem, North Carolina Health Department, County Department. They're coming up to pay a visit, sometime this month. In my old city, Detroit, they've adopted a variation of the, First Steps program where they targeted and implemented, the methodology. They scaled it to roughly five of their leading, zip codes in terms of high risk. So yeah, so the city of Detroit.
So people are taking
notice.
Winston-Salem.
Yes. Yeah.
So the Infant Vitality Forum that was held back in June, that you brought together local health workers and leaders in the community. And what were some of the ideas that came out of that?
Well, first of all, I have to extend our appreciation to Dr. Odell Owens and Karen Bankston and a host of panelists. But primarily, the most important issues were around dealing with reduction of poverty and mm-hmm. going upstream.
That's a key, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And so for our city, we see an opportunity for catapulting citizens who are challenged right now into a middle-class income. Chris Offrey and Mike Maloney have done some great work in the area of social issues in the city of Cincinnati for more than 25 years. They've been doing some work. And so looking at opportunities to place folks into a middle-class pathway income-wise, we see infrastructure jobs, the construction jobs which are taking place in our cities, on our streets, the railroads, I dare say the streetcar bridges, is that the average income for those individuals who are on the streets, tearing up those streets, is $43,000. The gateway to a middle-class income is $38,000. So if we could see a representative workforce of our of folks who live in the communities that are distressed, we can essentially have a much more wholesome and income heterogeneity in terms of income in our neighborhoods if we could have greater inclusion of individuals who are in the distressed neighborhoods on the workforce that's doing the work in those respective communities.
So this is a holistic view. You're setting off a domino effect. Improving people's economic situation is going to expand outward and improve health situations and outcomes as well.
Exactly. They become taxpayers. There's less incentives, if you will, of becoming involved in a subterranean income or economy, I should say. And we know that it works, because I myself essentially lived and grew up in a community which was comprised of both working class as well as professional folks, and this can take place in Cincinnati. It's doable.
Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Mark, for having us, and certainly the bottom line is the infant mortality rate is 8.4 in the city. It's continuing going down, and it's only done through a collaboration, and we hope to strengthen that collaboration. So thank you so much.
Dr. Noble Massaro, Health Commissioner for the Cincinnati Health Department. Coming up, graduated licensing laws and how they're reducing the number of accidents involving teen drivers. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.